Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat fans, whenever you're listening to this. Well, it's a postseason edition now of Brick Ball, and I'm here with Foley tonight. We are breaking down the overtime loss to Grambling and just going over some notes from the end of the season. My first year doing the Brick Ball show is coming to an end, and it was a fun one, but an unfortunate ending in the tournament in the first four. But how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Zach. It is kind of cool to know that, hey, Brick Ball was very successful, and it's you did a great job on it this year. And yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Thanks, man. It's a lot more fun to end it the last couple weeks of this season. I mean, it could have gone down and just been a little monotone, but boy, the last couple weeks of the season made it a lot more fun, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, the ups and downs. I know the team has. I've gotten to meet so many people through this little endeavor, gotten just, you know, shout outs or getting to talk to people. I'm like, oh yeah, I listened to your guys' show, or just wearing the sweatshirt. Oh yeah, I heard your episode the other night. That's so cool. That was something I wasn't expecting, and you guys gave me this platform, and obviously I don't know what I'm doing for the most part. I'm learning, and a lot of great feedback, a lot of great insight, and a lot of support. And I've really enjoyed that.
I always contend it is the best part of doing the R&R is the connections you make with the fans and the listeners, and then the interactions you get to have with the MSU community, players, coaches, alumni, but just mainly the fans. I mean, that's how you and I met, right? We met out in Frisco and then just kept in contact. And then, because you were a listener all along overseas when you were deployed. So, hey, look what happened. It's awesome.
I should push that picture out, because we took a picture at the national championship game after the game and the sad post game tailgate. But that whole tailgate experience that's one of my favorite memories, even though it was one of the worst like game experiences. That getting our butts kicked, like the pre and post tailgates, if you were there, were just legendary from the Cats fans. We moved barriers and showed up at 4 a.m. Just, oh man, we're going to get so sidetracked. But I remember they said like tailgating started at 5, and we're like, we'll show up early. And then we saw all the North Dakota State motor domes that had just moved the barriers and camped overnight. It's like, well, they're professionals. They've been here before. And just to see what that like, that parking lot in Frisco turned into during the pregame and then the postgame was just insane. That was a fun experience. I enjoyed that.
Well, it was. I can't wait to go back. We were hoping to go back to Frisco this year, but, you know, hope springs eternal. Speaking of spring, we're into it now, so we'll be rolling out spring football episodes here shortly. I can't believe it, man.
Charts coming out. Oh, my God. Dude, we're one less than a month away from spring football, the spring game, which is so crazy.
Sunny Holland. Yeah. Right on, man. Well, hey.
All right.
Before we do anything, let's get into what's in our golden coolie.
That sounds like a great idea. It cracks me up every time.
Yeah.
All right. You want to lead this off?
All right. In my golden coolie, I'm still plowing through my stash of, it might be the second stash. I'm not sure, actually. The Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. This is a celebration beer for me. We talk about that on a couple episodes and have a couple in my fridge still. And so they're still delicious. That's what I got.
I got to get a celebration beer. That's something I've thought about, but I don't have one. I'm rocking the Matt Brewery out of Bozeman, and I'm rocking their Party Mexican Lager. I have been in like a massive Mexican lager kick like the past 3 weeks. I don't know what it is. I think I just missed Floating Rivers this summer, and I'm just like, we had two really nice weeks, and then I got in summer mode, and of course, fall spring hit me, and so now I'm in like summer beer mode, and I don't know why, but we'll see.
Yeah, and you're about ready.
I'm like out of IPA, out of dark beer mode. I'm into like that lager mode right now, so we'll see if that lasts. I'll report back on that, but that's where I'm at.
Oh, fall spring. Classic Montana. Like, oh, you get like two fall springs, and then winter just slaps you right in the face again. I love it.
It's coming right back. All right, dude. We'll get into it. Bobcats fall in overtime to Grambling State, 88-81. Let's get into some of the team stats I have up here. We were sadly out-rebounded 41-27, so the last Zach stat of the year is not a good one. However, we did out 3-point shoot them. We were 43.3% to their 40%. Turnovers were about even, 12 to 11. We had one more, but it just felt like ours in the second half were just so costly.
I would say that 3-point percentage, too, is kind of misleading because they only took 10. We took 30. Did you see that?
Yeah. It just hurts. Yeah, 13 for 30, 4 for 10. But, boy, they were good in the lane. I'll stop right here real quick, too. How did you watch the game? How was, like, what was your game day setup? Because it was about a midday game. What was your kind of vibe, I guess, going into the game?
Oh, wow. Well, the game started when I was still at work. So over here, Pacific Coast time in Spokane, the game started at 3:30 or 3:40, excuse me. I don't get off work. I don't leave the school until 4 contractually. So the game was going on already. I had set it up on my house to record. And so I was keeping watch on my phone, but not like I couldn't like actually log into the game on my phone. And I was, you know me, I could get so stinking nervous during these things. I was pacing anyways. And so I was watching on my phone, pacing back and forth, knowing full well that regardless what was going to happen, I was going to rewatch the game later that night when I had full time to do so, because when I get home, you know, I'm on dad duty, and of course the boys are old enough now, they want to watch the game as well. So we flipped it on when we got home, and everything was looking roses because we were up going into halftime, I think by 9 points or something like that. And then the second half happened, and so yeah, it was a little kind of a bummer night after that, but pretty much just got home and missed the first half mostly, but you know, went back, rewatched it. That was fun part, at least. We were knocking shots down left and right first half. It felt like we were on that same heater that we came off of from Boise State. And I had a little bit of a kind of like, man, I don't know if we can keep this up kind of moment. I was like, this keeps going well. And this wasn't following the same narrative of our last games where we start off poor and then finish strong. And I wondered if that would flip-flop, and it did. And so, well, we'll talk about that, but that was my setup. What about yours?
I went to the watch party at the Brick. I had some guys I went over with who had been listening, some coworkers, and it was a great environment to be there with a lot of Cats fans, good energy. The one thing I'd say is the one critique I had is they had like a DJ for like the commercial breaks to play music. But we have really good in-game basketball and football. It's a lot of like rave music, but it gets you like hyped up. It gets you pumped. It gets that like adrenaline going. It's like good for the moment. And he didn't play any of that in the game. I was like, come on, man. It's the fourth quarter. Play Timmy Trumpet's Freaks or the late in the game. Like, we need like our hype up song. And he was just playing just random radio station songs. Of like, oh, like he missed the moment on that. But
yeah.
Lots of Cats fans there. Great environment. Great to watch it with a bunch of people, especially when we were knocking down those threes. That place was electric, especially in the first half. That was so cool to see just the place go crazy. But good setup, good environment. Stunk because there were a lot of people that were around me looking at me like, well, what's going to happen? You're the guy who should know. And I'm like, I'm just a fan. I'm just in my moment. I'm nervous right now, too.
Did they have concessions open?
They did, yes.
Can you buy beer?
You can, yeah. You can buy alcohol. It's $9. It's $9 a pop, but yes, you can.
What does $9 get you?
It gets you about a 16-ounce Coors Light.
$9 Coors Light. There you go. Good job, Montana.
It keeps people
State.
less rowdy, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, baseball season is about to start. We have mini season tickets over here for the Spokane Indians. Yeah, that's what you're paying over here as well, man. So when you want to watch sporting live and have beer, I guess that's what you pay, 10 bucks a beer anymore. So whatever.
Side tangent. I miss that the No Lie Red, was it the Red Band wheat ale that they have that they serve at those games?
Yeah.
In the baseball bats? Oh, mm-hmm. I totally miss those things. Love Spokane Indians games. I had a great time at those. Bozeman doesn't really have that, which is kind of tough because I love those minor league baseball teams and those games.
Come on back, man. I'll take you to some.
I might have to come back for a game because those are fun.
Yeah. Starting up next week. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I can't believe we're just moving so quickly. Baseball season starts. Wow. All right. Well, it was a roller coaster game. You mentioned that the second half, and I had to go back and look. We had a 14-point lead with 14 minutes to go in that game. Mm-hmm. So for the first mm-hmm. 6 minutes, it was still, you know, we're cruising. And then Kofor, and they just found the lane. It just felt like they just found that they could drive the lane and we couldn't stop them. And we just got diced up the middle. They decided to stop shooting the long ball. We started turning the ball over, which was a little uncharacteristic that late in games, especially from certain guys that were doing that. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what the turning of momentum was. I don't know if they played more guys minutes wise with us. I think their bench was pretty even. They played just about the same amount of guys as we did, but something happened at that 13 minute to go mark, and we just couldn't hang.
Kind of felt like Kofor came in off the bench and he just got on an unbelievable hot streak.
He couldn't.
And I'm not sure. Yeah. Where he was making contested shots. And then we missed three-pointers, wide open three-pointers in a row, three trips down the rope. And then they came back and they were scoring on those misses. And so they were getting stops on our end and we were kind of going cold, and then you could kind of see our guys kind of start to go a little bit tight. Like we have an uncharacteristic Robert Ford dribbles it out of bounds kind of moment. And then it was like these little cuts in our armor, these little chinks in our armor started to like avalanche on us. And that's so funny because Coach Logie had talked about playing avalanche basketball, and that is exactly what it felt like happened to us in the second half. And I think a critique for me, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not a smart guy when it comes to basketball, but we were playing a ton of man, and Kofor was just being able, he was quick off the dribble, right? And he was initiating contact, and that's what they were giving him the benefit of the doubt. And at one point, like Robert Ford, like I thought Robert Ford took a beautiful charge, got called for a block against it, and it was just momentum-based basketball.
No sense.
Yeah. So, and like late calls too, like Kofor would go up and it would be like 2 seconds afterwards and then they would get the whistle. You're like, come on, are you serious? And so I'm not sure why we didn't go to some sort of zone there because he was eating us up. It seemed to me like Grambling was clearing it out and they were just going, okay, drive, go for it, man, because you're hitting everything, circus, wizardry type shots that you have. And like you said, he couldn't miss. And you're just like, man. And I remember Thorny just texting us saying, man, we just need one stop. And we would
get
2 points.
It.
No. And God bless Robert Ford because he kept us single-handedly in that second half. None of the guys wanted to shoot. Garacki had an amazing first half, but everybody started just passing the ball. No, I don't want to take the shot. Patterson, 1-for-8 from deep. I mean, if we hit one of those, absolutely just one of those, you know, we win, right? We hit one more free throw. At one point, we were 4-for-10. From the stripe. I'm not sure what was our free throw percentage.
So that I was going to wait for you to finish, but that's my biggest critique is we were 8-of-15 from the stripe.
Damn.
8-of-15. That's that was all season. I got to find our season average, but it was not good from the free throw line. And if there's one critique that I'd like to see us really get better at, it's that.
Yeah.
And the three-point game, I mean, that was us all year. When we were on, we won those games, and we won games maybe we shouldn't have won. But when we were off, we lost games we should have won this season. And that was just a live and die of, are your 3-point shooters hot? But I mean, Robert Ford was 8-of-6 from 3 points. That's incredible.
Yeah, he was. He actually hit another one that got called off because it was, I can't remember the call now, but it might have been a travel or something on Gracky, and he just drilled it during that time when we needed a shot. I was like, no. I wish I could talk to Logie, because it's just an honest conversation. Just say, what were you seeing? Why were we going with man defense right there? I'm not trying to question him. I want to hear more about that moment. Like, do you think he has any regrets not going to zone? I would like to know the coach's thoughts on that.
Yeah. Anyway, man, I'm just looking over last minute stats. The only other thing I saw on social media too was the last couple of possessions of overtime of the Gorecki threes and just kind of the chuck ups. And I'm never going to critique, you know, if a guy thinks he has an open shot, because here's the thing, if one of those goes in, we're not having this conversation. That's kind of the thing, you know, it's kind of how like football coaches get critiqued for running the field goal kicker out and being like, well, why'd you do that or something? And it's like, well, if he misses, it's always a problem. But if he makes it, it's never brought up again. So never going to critique that on my side. It's not really ill-advised. If you think you can make that, if you have the confidence, Gorecki's made quite a few of those shots throughout the year too, those crazy threes, but it was a desperate time and unfortunately those shots didn't fall and that was how it kind of ended. But sad, tough, but again, we were not supposed to be here this year. It was like I said in the solo show, you know, was it playing with house money is a phrase that I really don't like, because people are like, we're playing for the house money. It's like, no we don't, because you don't always have these opportunities. You never know when this kind of opportunity, you never know when a 10 seed's going to beat the 1 seed and you're going to have an opportunity to make it to the title game.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where I was at. And so to see the run we went on, see how this team progressed, and then to see us do that in the tournament and play a tough game. I mean, we were getting smoked by Purdue either way, if we won that game or not. That was kind of the only step, because I watched Grambling and they got shellacked by Purdue.
They held more court than Utah State did.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll talk about that, but I think somebody had maybe already accepted a job or was out the door at that point.
Hey, I did want to talk a little bit about Brandon Walker, because Brandon Walker had an amazing first half. He has such athletic feet in the paint, and sometimes it gets him in trouble too, because he travels a lot with those athletic feet. He's quick and he's got some moves down low and he can score pretty good. He had, I think, about 10 points early on. What did you think about the final play of regulation for us giving it to Brandon Walker?
If it goes in, I mean, he had made, it was a high percentage shot, a high percentage, you know, activity that he had been doing. So if that goes in, it's no problem. But I liked the dial up. I liked the thought. It just had been cold in the second half was the only thing I'd have to say about it. So it hadn't been there in a little bit. So to go back to it, but yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to take it out of.
Yeah. It's hard to critique it.
We didn't need, I mean, obviously it was tied. So we didn't need the bucket at that moment. I mean, if we get it, we win, right? I give it to Ford right there is my thought. It's like, how do you take it out of the field general's hands? And maybe that was an option. And I know Coach Logie talked about that final play. They thought they were going to cover Ford, and so we were going to give it to Brandon. Brandon had success down low, yada, yada, yada. But I just don't know how Ford does not get the ball in that moment.
I think my favorite... Sorry, I'm just looking. My favorite play of the game was Sam. Sam is such a good, you know, I've mentioned this before. He gets called for fouls that aren't fouls quite a bit of the time just because of how he plays, especially with some of the, you know, he goes up, but just some of his rejections, some of his blocks are just amazing.
Yeah.
And then that step back three he had in the first half was, oh, I love that. That was something that like, 2 or 3 years ago, he could have never done, but just the dribble, get the guy out of the way, the step back three. Oh, that was when everything was going our way too. That was like, all right, you know, things are going good when Sam's hitting step back threes like that, you know, things are coming up Bobcats, but I don't know, man, it was tough. It's just a tough way to end things. And they exploited a clear weakness. They knew what they were going to do. They found something that worked, and we just had no answer. And then going into overtime, it just continued.
Yeah, I would echo that. It did feel tough. It felt a little bit like we got robbed a little bit. And you can give credit to Grambling, but they hit some like crazy shots. crazy shots. And you're like, how does that fall? How's a guy from their bench score 19 and become the leading scorer? How do we not answer that? How do we go ice cold all of a sudden when we were up by 14? How does a guy consistently, like a guy who's flourished this year, Tyler Patterson, go 1 from 8 when half of his threes are halfway down and then rim out? Like,
and he was wide open. He just had 6 of those were just wide open, non-contested, had time to set up, and it was like, here we go. And then, oh.
Dad, and you feel bad for him because he was such a key cog and will be such a key cog for us going forward. And there's so many what ifs, right? But I guess that's what makes March Madness so much fun is you have those moments. And you're right, man. We would have got smoked by Purdue. What I like to see.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
I'm not changing my opinion, but that environment for the first four looked really darn cool with that many people there in that kind of, we were solo national television in March Madness. We would have been, you know, just on a game in an early game somewhere where the 1 versus 16, where people maybe watch the first 4 minutes and then they're on to the 8-9 matchup to watch that because it's way more interesting. For 2 hours, we were the biggest show in America, which is pretty crazy and pretty cool to look at. I mean, that's MSU on national television again, taking the spotlight. And that's sweet. That's sweet to see. That's cool. I had people who knew I go to MSU, but knew nothing else and would text me like, hey, you guys are on TV right now. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm really stressed out.
So you would not change that? See, I actually preferred it. I thought that was somewhat of a pleasant surprise. I was like, whoa, we could actually, that was a fun game, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, the grand, like being evenly matched and then knowing that, well, if we make it through, we were still going to get a 16 seed. Yeah. I mean, at that point, like, what's the difference between a 16 and a 15? Maybe a little bit.
I guess I'm saying I'm happy that we went to the first four. Like, okay. I'm glad that we got that. Like, even though we lost, I think it would have been, it's more fun that we played a super contested, super fun game versus losing by 30 to Houston or Connecticut or Purdue first off the bat. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Totally agree. I love the first four in, actually. If the Big Sky Conference can never get above a 12 seed, you know, 15 normally, put us in the first four. I like that. If that's where we're at, like with the RPI and how everything shakes out, cool. My guess, though, is the Big Sky is going to continue to get better at basketball or be more of a basketball conference. And we'll probably be still a one bid team or a one bid league, and we will continue to just get our butts whooped in the first game because we'll be a lot of 15, 14, 16 seeds. So give me the first four. At least you can win one.
Give me the first four. Give me that fun. Yeah. I just pulled up too. We did a little bracket challenge. You're still leading the bracket challenge right now. You picked Connecticut to win it all. I think I have Illinois. That was my sleeper team to win it all. You got to go a little different in these things.
Dude, I had Oakland. Come on now. Give me credit for that.
That's right. Yeah. You did say that. I think I had Grand Canyon, and then I had another one I was proud of. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but yeah, maybe next year we'll publish it a little more. It was kind of last minute, but we'll do like an R&R bracket challenge and we'll put it on all the socials and we'll see who can win it. So we'll have, maybe next year that'll be something I'll write down in the improvement category of, we'll do a full fan madness on that, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to see who'd win that.
We could get them something from the Gear Up Sports merch store that we have for the winter. Yep.
Now we're thinking out loud. Yeah. Well, all right. Let's move on to the Danny Sprinkle talk and just kind of the off-season stuff, because when we were in this last year, this wasn't until a middle of April. It was after the tournament when Danny left. And less than a year later, he's the new head coach of the University of Washington, which I had jokingly said to my dad last year at that time. I said, well, it'll be fun when he's the head coach of Washington next year. So, like, I don't make a lot of, I don't make a lot of predictions. And like, it's like the Colin Cowherd, how he has on his show. I'm not a big fan of his show, but he has the when he's right, when he's wrong segment. And I've had a lot of things wrong, especially in the one football episode. I sounded like a dummy for half that episode you guys had me on. But I'll take this one. As I had said, he's going to be the Husky head coach over a year ago. And I'm not alone in that opinion. I think a lot of people had that. But $3.1 million a year. It's the truth that there's always a bigger fish out there. And Danny had loyalty, I think, to MSU just because of where it was. And it was, you know, his alma mater. And he had a lot of great memories there. But he had no connections to Utah State. They just, you know, I think they presented him a pretty good opportunity. He was able to build a roster, was able to have, I think, a lot more NIL support, a lot more of what he thought he needed to win at a bigger level. And he won a tournament game. He won a big conference. I'll give him credit for that. He had a fantastic year, but he's on the move again, and he's going to go be a Big Ten. That's so weird to say. A Big Ten head coach in basketball. And that's going to be an interesting experiment of you go from the Big Sky to a year in the Mountain West to now you're going to be leading a team that has struggled for the past quite a few years. That's going to have a lot of lofty expectations and a lot of rivalries coming into it. He's no stranger to UW, it seems like, but we'll see, man. I mean, it's crazy how these coaches just bounce around like this. A lot of people give flack to players, but coaches are no better.
I mean, 22 mil. I mean, you can't say no to that.
Gosh, yeah. Good. If another school district came in and said, hey, Foley, we're going to give you 16 times more money than you're making at your school. Where do I sign? Where do I move? The car's packed.
Sorry, Liv. We're moving. She wouldn't be like, sorry. Thank you. She'd be saying. Well, good for him, man. That is such a good story. I did not know this. I was listening to Coulter's show today. Apparently, his father is like in the Hall of Fame over at University of Washington. He was a football player. So he has ties to Seattle and University of Washington. I probably got that wrong, but I know his dad was a football player over there. So he grew up a dog fan, just like I grew up a Buckeye fan. So this would be probably like the same thing for me being like the baseball coach or something for Ohio State. Now that's a terrible analogy, but I'm trying to make sense of this in my brain. I mean, you know, hey, when Montana wins, we all win. Really. So yeah. Guy from Helena, a Bobcat, when it's crazy that he did this in a calendar year.
it's insane. Like, that's crazy.
Going from, I think one of our listeners texted me today. He said, in a calendar year, Sprinkle went from making $250K to over $3.7 million per year. Happy retirement, Danny.
Well, it's... And it's something that I looked back is he spent almost 20 years as an assistant coach making, I'm guessing, practically nothing. So you have these guys that come through, but man, he paid his debts. I mean, it's good to see him, you know, get this, and he well deserved, obviously. But he was at Northridge a couple times. He was an assistant at MSU, and then he was at Fullerton for a while. He was assistant coach for a long time. So he really, you know, he grinded his teeth. He got his opportunity to obviously be our head coach, and he ran with it and showed just what an amazing talent he was. And I think what an amazing dude he is too. I've heard nothing but good things about him, especially off the court. I mean, what a class act and a great guy.
He has such a magnetic personality. When you listen to him, you understand why his players just respond to him, because you listen when they do the cameras, you know, and they're in the meetings, you're like, yeah, this guy has like that chote thing going on where they're very similar in a way to me, where they're just like, they command respect, but make you want to work really hard for them. And I'm just a guy, like I'm just a dad over here in Washington. I'm like, but I watch these things. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I see it. You just see leadership. You recognize good leadership. He's a good leader. He's a great Bobcat. He's a great leader.
Well, at the time of recording this too, it's funny because now Washington fills their vacancy without an athletic director. Kind of weird. But Washington State now has an open basketball position, and Utah State also has one. And there was some talk. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see if any Big Sky coaches get poached, if anything, you know, moves on from here.
David Riley.
I'm curious. Yeah, there was a lot of talk from people around the tournament of, this was before they got knocked out, but what would David Riley's potential next step be? And, you know, he's put together, besides no tournament stuff, really. I mean, he had the 1 year, but the last 2 years, he's put together some really amazing teams, especially, you know, he had an NIT run a little bit last year, too. So to see what he could maybe do at a bigger level, if he gets a shot at Utah State, it's going to be interesting. But if I'm Utah State right now, I got to be scratching my head a little bit. Like, do we want to go hire another Big Sky coach? And if he pops in a year, is he gone? I mean, it's the nature of the business, but that's kind of how it goes, is that you got to almost like think, it's got to come into consideration of, hey, not are we hiring a good coach, but is he going to stick around for a while? That's a crazy thing to think about and get into your heads. And I know I've heard some stepping stone stuff, but I'm just curious. It's going to be an interesting roller coaster. College athletics is obviously changing right now, but I don't think Bobcat fans have anything to worry about for a while. I think we got a good situation. I think we're set up for a while. And I'm so excited to see. I guess we'll close things out here, but we were talking about it. We got a lot of dudes returning on this team. We got a lot of youth, a couple big time recruits coming in. I'm just really excited to see what we can do next year, what Logie can do with another year at the Division I level, what he's learned. I'd be very curious kind of if he does a postseason presser or some offseason stuff. Just what's the biggest thing he's learned being a Division I coach?
It will be interesting. I mean, you said a lot there. I keep thinking about all these coaching changes. The Washington State one is the one that has me curious, because that's a regional thing for both David Riley and Coach Logie coming from Whitworth. So there could be some ties there. I'm not sure they're going to take a shot on Coach Logie.
I'd throw in Travis DeCures too, though, from Montana.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about Coach DeCure. That is a good point. He's been in the mix over there in previous hires as well. I would say David Riley could be a front runner. I would see him, you know, recruiting Eastern Washington and being a Seattle guy himself. The Spokesman Review ran an article on that, and that was, his name was one of the first that was on the top of the list over there. So, but as far as Coach Logie goes, it wasn't all roses, you know. We went on this heater in the last 4 weeks, and that's the thing that we're, you know, the taste that's in our mouth right now. But go 6 weeks back, 8 weeks back, we were having some really tough times. Go early on in the season, a lot of head scratchers, and you kind of alluded to it early on in this episode. Foul trouble, or not foul trouble, shooting from the stripe, being able to hit those. And also, to me, Thorny, I almost called you Thorny, Zach.
I have a beard, but mine's not as magnificent as his.
As illustrious as Thorny's. Oh my gosh. We, like you said, we also lived and died by the three. We took 30 threes in this last game. How can we be more dynamic? Is that going to be a hallmark of Coach Logie's program, or was it just a byproduct of who we had on our team this year, or is it both? I'm interested to see that. I would like to see us be more dynamic, be able to slash in the paint and be able to score inside. I mean, it was nice when we had Olmstead, his emergence with that as well, kind of mixed things up, but I don't know. I got some questions going forward, and definitely some improve upons that we can work on. But that's life, and that's, you know, he's a first coach, first year. He did a magnificent job, but there were some tough losses in there too.
Yeah, it was frustrating at times, and it was incredibly fun at times, but it made it all that more interesting. I mean, we're a 17-18 team that made the tournament, nearly won a tournament game. That's crazy.
Yeah. You had wins against Eastern Washington, but you had losses against Idaho Or, you know, so you're like, the ups and the downs were almost too much for my heart sometimes.
I can't remember if I said this last episode, but I'm like, hey, if you brought me on to do this basketball show and the first thing I came on here and said is, yeah, we're going to have a below 500 record. We're going to win the Big Sky tournament. We're going to go and almost win a tournament game. And you'd be like, did we seriously bring this guy on to do this?
No one would believe that, by the way. No one would believe that.
They were like, okay. And we're turning this guy off for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was ambitious with semifinals. I was like, hey, there's glimpses here that a good season, an absolute W in the win column would be, a semifinal run, and things just fall into your lap. And not just fall into your lap, but they played hard and they played good at the end of the year. And that was awesome to see. But all right, man, I got a little tease for you. We might be having some post basketball season interviews with our play-by-play guys, both men's and women's, coming on here, and then maybe talking a little spring ball with those guys as well, going into things. But it's kind of a tease. That's what Brick Ball will be for a little bit, and then we'll just see if we pump out some material over the summer, look at some recruiting stuff, look at where the team is at going into next year. But it's been a ton of fun doing this. It's been a great time. I've sure enjoyed it. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Hope I haven't annoyed anybody enough with my ums and so's and mans that I've been notorious for all year. But I've had a ton of fun. Foley, thank you for letting me do this. I really enjoyed it. And let's get out of here, man. Go Cats.
Go Cats.